All right. So good to have each and every one of you here this morning with us. God is good, amen?
Amen?
Amen. Would you stand with me for just a moment? There in your homes, if you would just bow your heads with us in prayer. Father, we dedicate this time to you. Lord, our desire is to hear your voice. Speak to us through your word. Reveal to us, O God, who you are and who you have called us to be. We dedicate this time to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be reseated. So there's this message that's been on my heart that I want to share with y'all today. As I've been in prayer about what is happening in our communities, in our cities, and around the world, I just have felt the overwhelming sense that we find ourselves today in what I would refer to as an identity crisis. An identity crisis. There seems to be this great divide between us. A separation that seems impossible to be able to bridge. And there are people that are crying out, bridge the gap, bridge the gap. Will you be a bridge? And yet it seems like every effort is being thwarted in some way or fashion. But I believe that this, the core of this, the reason for this, is that there is a crisis of identity. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. The Apostle Peter writes, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. You know, today we live in a world that's in crisis. Would you agree with that? Hatred and division are at the forefront of every news and social medium. Everyone feels compelled to take sides. Voices are raised. Emotions are raw. Deep wounds and the shameful sins of the past have resurfaced. Like a festering wound, violence and chaos have spilled into our streets and communities. Long-standing friendships are being tested. Our diversity, which once was hailed as the strength of our society, has now become the point of friction that is pulling us apart. People are afraid. As has been the case from the beginning of time, everyone is pointing fingers. In desperation, we are looking for someone to blame. Some have chosen to point at one wrong in an attempt to divert attention from another. It's the old, he did it too. I've heard that from my kids once or twice. As if one sin is greater than the other. Some have chosen to bow and surrender, hoping to appease the other side. I just want to say that the idea that suggests that my state of being is the source of the problem, and that in order for you to be empowered, I must renounce who I am, is the very epitome of racism. No race is greater than another. All of us have been created equal. So what is the driving force that causes one individual or one race to attempt to dominate another? Fear. Fear is the factor. It motivates the most primal of human instinct. It is the basis for the theory of survival of the fittest. Dominate or be dominated. All of this stems from a crisis of identity. Hate is motivated by fear, and fear is the result of an identity crisis. So where did all of this begin? Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. In the New King James Version, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" It says here that they were afraid, so they hid from God. They were afraid. It says they were naked and afraid. But if we go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." We're not ashamed. So what happened between Genesis chapter 2, 25, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 10? What changed? There was a crisis of identity. A crisis of identity. Here the enemy came and he began to speak and question if the one who they had identified as being their creator, their father, the one that loved them, truly cared for them, truly was there for them. Began to call into question whether or not he really was on their side, or if he was attempting to dominate them, attempting to control them, attempting to keep something from them. And as they listened and were enticed, they turned toward the enemy, who offered to give them the ability to dominate. But it was a lie. It was a hoax. And they found themselves caught and trapped within a crisis of identity. Knowing who they had been created to be, knowing who was their creator, yet finding themselves separated, isolated, living in fear, afraid, a crisis of identity. Think about Cain and Abel. Here were two brothers. They both brought an offering to God. Abel brought the best that he had to the Lord and offered it to the Lord, and the Lord was very pleased. Cain brought the leftovers, brought what was not good for anything else. He couldn't use it to eat. He couldn't use it for food. He could not use it as a seed. It was simply what was left. And he gave it to God. And God was not pleased. Nor would you or I be pleased if someone attempted to give us something that was completely worn out and torn and say, it's an offering. Enjoy it. God was not pleased. And yet, here we see that Cain decided he wanted to fight against his brother. And in a fit of rage, he rose up and killed him. In a fit of rage, he sought to dominate his brother. He did not want his brother to be better than him. And in his mind, he saw that his brother was better than him. And he could not have that. And so in a fit of rage, he reached out and killed him. As a result, he was rejected because he had chosen to attempt to dominate. You know, it's interesting that in the scripture, if you go and you look at what God spoke to Adam and Eve, he told them, what did he say? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, right? Then he said, you'll have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the creepy crawlies. You don't have to be afraid of spiders. You have dominion over them. But he said, he did not say that you could dominate another person. He did not give dominance to one individual over another because we were all created equal. We were created equal in God's eyes. Here was Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael was Abraham's son. Isaac was Abraham's son. And yet Ishmael was jealous of his brother. He would pick on him. He would push him around. He would bully him. He got so rough with him that his mother was afraid that he was going to kill him. And so his father had to put him out of the house, send him away. He was in a crisis of identity. Jacob and Esau. Here you have two brothers. What happened with Esau? He sold his birthright. He gave up his position in the family. But then he decided and desired to dominate his brother. He desired to come back and try to find his place. He was in a crisis of identity because he sought to dominate his brother. And we know the story. God ultimately blessed Jacob, and Esau was found to be in a position of struggle. Joseph and his brothers. Here you have Joseph. He's this kid. He's the baby of the family. Any babies of the family in here? Don't raise your hand. You know, the baby of the family, they're always the one that's spoiled. They're the ones that get away with everything. They're daddy's and mommy's favorite, right? They can get away with anything. They can do anything. And it's like as if it just is mind-blowing. You're sitting there going, if that was me, this would have happened. That would have happened. I would have never been out. But the baby of the family gets away with everything, right? The babies of the family all agree, right? And so do the rest of us. But here's Joseph, and he's the one that's babied by his dad. And all the other brothers are upset and envious of him. And they take it to another level. They decide to sell him into slavery. And then to go back and tell his dad, their father, oh, an animal killed him. There was such a hatred, such a rage, because there was this desire to dominate the other, that it turned into a crisis of identity, where they could no longer look their father in the eyes because of the shame that they were carrying, knowing what they had done to their brother. David and his brothers. Now here's a story that gets me every time. David was rejected by his father. He was rejected by his brothers. He was rejected by the king. Think about this. Here comes Samuel to Jesse's house, David's father, and says to Jesse, "The Lord has sent me here because one of your sons is called to be the king. Gather all of your sons together and bring them here so that I can hear from the voice of God and know which one is to be king." Jesse gathers all of his kids except for David. Leaves him out there. Didn't even think about him. And here, all of his sons go before Samuel. And Samuel's just, he's beside himself, says, "Jesse, are you sure you don't have any other sons? None of these are the one." And Jesse goes, "Well, there's David. Let me go get him." Can you imagine that rejection, that sense of rejection? And then he goes, his father sends him to go and take food to his brothers who were fighting in the war. And he gets there and his brothers just start to rag on him. "Who do you think you are? What is it that you're doing? You sure aren't even doing the one thing that you're halfway decent at, taking care of the sheep. You're over here trying to meddle, trying to mess, trying to get into the midst of all of this. You just want to be a part of what we're doing. You need to get back to the sheep pen where you belong." I mean, what a tragedy. These brothers sought to dominate David, their brother. He was rejected by the king. Here David was this loyal servant to the king, served him faithfully, did whatever the king asked, was there for him 100% of the time. But the king was jealous of him and sought to dominate him. The king, y'all need to hear what I'm saying. The king, the one who was in charge of it all, was jealous of a little shepherd boy and sought to dominate him, sought to kill him, sought to destroy him. When we're all created equal, and yet there are those who are trying to dominate others because of fear. What motivated all of these to do the things that they did? Fear. Cain was motivated by fear. Ishmael was motivated by fear. Esau was motivated by fear. Joseph's brothers were motivated by fear. David's brothers and the king were motivated by fear. Why were they afraid? Because they had a crisis of identity. They did not know who they were. They did not know whose they were. As opposed to Abel, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, all of these had one thing in common. They knew who they were. They knew their identity. Their identity was not found in their family. Their identity was not found in what they did. Their identity was only found in God. Their identity was found in God. Think for a minute about Psalm 23. Here's King David. And he pens the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd." This same one who had been rejected and placed on the backside of a desert by his father. The same one who had suffered the rejection of his brothers. The same one who was hiding in caves because the king decided to kill him. Writes the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." He knew who his father was. He knew who was his provider. He knew who he was because he knew whose he was. He knew that he belonged to God. What is identity? The word identity, as a definition, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. The characteristics determining who or what a person or thing is. If identity is the fact of being who you are, then an identity crisis is not knowing who you are. If I don't know who I am, I can't be who I was meant to be. When you don't know who you are, what others say about you becomes your identity. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. When you don't know who you are, what others say about you becomes your identity. What are some of the things that we identify ourselves with? Let's think through some of this. Could it be our socioeconomic status? Whether it's education, do people identify by their education, their job, their financial status? Do they identify themselves by their relationship status? Yes? What about generationally? We lump ourselves into categories, right? What about ethnicity? That's a big one, right? We choose to identify ourselves based upon our ethnicity. What about religion? People identify themselves by their religion or by politics. What about geographically? Oh, I'm from the north, or I'm from the south, or I'm from the east, or I'm from the west, or I'm from middle America. I'm from the back 40. I'm from the hill country. I'm from the inner city. I'm from suburbia. We identify geographically. What about gender? I don't even want to get on that one. What about skills and abilities? We identify by our skills or our abilities, right? I'm a carpenter, I'm an electrician, I'm a mechanic, I'm a mathematician, I'm, you know, whatever it is that we do. I sing, I play guitar, you know. We identify ourselves based on our abilities. We identify ourselves by our likes and our dislikes. We identify ourselves by our possessions. Clothes that we wear, the cars we drive. Well, I'm a Chevy person. Well, I'm a Ford person, right? I'm a Ferrari person. I don't know. There's Facebook has caught on to this, and they have even taken it another step. And so now people identify themselves on Facebook by the groups that they are in. These Facebook groups. All of these identities simultaneously unite, and they simultaneously divide us. But none of these speak to who we are. I want to read through some scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 14:2. You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. Deuteronomy 26:18. The Lord has declared today that you are his people, his own special treasure, just as he promised. and that you must obey all of his commands. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus speaking, you did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father may give you whatever you ask for using my name. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But to all who believed on him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. We've been chosen by God to be his children. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection gave us that right. The sin in the garden sent us reeling into a crisis of identity. But when God sent his son Jesus to this earth to bear our sin and shame, he paved the way for all of us to be restored to our rightful place as children of God. By his shed blood on the cross, he has made us all one. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 31. Says, God, who made the whole world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood, say from one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, say offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given us assurance to this all by raising him from the dead. Ephesians 4:25, for we are all members of one body. Every single person upon the face of the earth has been given the same gift of life. We are all uniquely different, and yet each of us has been fashioned by the very hand of God in our mother's womb. The very breath of God that brought Adam to life has been extended to every human being on the planet. I want to say that again. The very breath of God that brought Adam to life has been extended to every single human being upon the planet. For God so loved the world. Is there anyone on the face of the earth that God hates? There's no one. For God so loved the world. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 11. Dear friends, Let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. Christ made a way for all of us to identify as children of God. In Romans chapter 8:15, says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Say, adoption. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. We've been given the ability to be his children. Galatians 2:20. He's given us a new identity. I've been crucified with Christ. And yet I live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have all been made one by the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:15 through 17. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Now I want you to listen very carefully to this scripture. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread, and one body, for we partake of that one bread. The body and the blood of Jesus makes us all one. When we partake of that, we are coming into community. We're coming into communion. We're coming into fellowship with one another. Jesus is our identity. Romans 13:11-14 says, and do this, knowing that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, put on Jesus. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Jesus is the answer. As I'm closing, Jesus is the answer to all the hate and all of the division. Only he can make us one by his sacrifice. He has given us identity as children of God. The world needs to embrace the identity that they have been given through him. But our job as the church is to introduce them to Jesus. We do this by demonstrating love. We must look for ways to bring healing We as the church are called to serve our community. Love serves. We must go to them. Walk in your identity as a child of God. Put on Jesus. Be like Jesus. God is love. Be love. We're about to take communion. But before we do, I would ask that you examine your heart. I want each of us to repent for every word, every deed, every thought, every social media post, anything contrary to your true identity as a child of God. Let's make it right. Let's make it right. Would you take the time right now just to make it right? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed in this place, if you don't know Jesus, if you struggle with identity, hear what I'm saying. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe. And to all who believe, he has given the right to become his children. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would like to embrace your identity as a child of God by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask that you would raise your hand right where you are. If you're watching this with us, I ask that you would let us know right now that you're raising your hand to receive Christ. Would everyone just pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Come and heal my broken heart. Come and restore my soul. Take my broken identity and restore me to your identity as a child of God. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. And I thank you that I am your child. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we believe that you got born again. Let us know. We would love to connect with you. I'm going to ask for those who are serving communion to come at this time. As we're doing this, as we're preparing this, I would like to lead us all in a prayer of repentance. You can say it in your own way, but I'm going to pray. And if you would like to repeat with me, you can do so. Dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive us for every word, every deed, every thought that goes against your nature, that is contrary to our identity as your children. Search my heart. Search my soul. Remove every root of bitterness, every hateful motivation. Help me to act as a reflection of who you are. May I live true to my identity as a child of God. Help me to live, to love, and to serve as you did. I commit myself to you anew in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may come at this time and receive the elements. I would ask that you would just take that and hold it once you've received it. If you're watching online, you can prepare those things at this time, the bread, the juice, as we're going to partake together. God is good. We have been united under the banner of love. We have been united by the blood of Jesus. And as we partake of communion together, we are reminded that He loves us. We are reminded that we are one. So I would encourage you just to take that moment to remember that we have been united under the banner of the love of Jesus. Now on this cup, there is a top clear plastic piece. You'll need to pull that back. That will reveal the bread. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26 says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Father, today we remember you. We remember your sacrifice. Remember, O God, what you have done to unite us. Thank you, Lord, that you were broken so that we could be restored. Thank you, O God, that as you hung upon that cross and that love that was in your eyes came pouring down, Lord, you healed the nations. You brought healing. You brought restoration to the nations. And so, Lord, as we partake this morning of this bread, of this body, we are recognizing and understanding and remembering that we have been made one in Jesus. We have been restored to our identity as your children through the body and the blood of Jesus. So may we be united as one in spirit, in the name of Jesus, and may you bring healing and unity to this world. In Jesus' name, let us partake. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When we partake of this cup, this is a cup of redemption. It is a cup of unity. It is a cup that reminds us that his blood was shed. We are proclaiming to the world, the price has been paid. We're proclaiming to the world, we are all one blood. One blood. Because we have been given the opportunity to be the children of God. Would you thank the Lord for this right now? Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed. Thank you, oh God, that you have given us freedom, that you've restored us to sons and daughters of the Most High God. We praise you and we thank you for who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. Would you stand, please? Lord, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for all of those who are watching even right now. I thank you, O God, that you have united us under the banner of your love. I pray, O God, that you would take us and that you would use us as instruments of your peace. That you would help us, O God, to carry your love outside of these four walls. And everyone that we encounter, would we remember you died for them? You gave your life for them because you loved them. May we remember and may we be reminded that the very breath that they're breathing is the very breath of life that you have given them. May we be reminded that we have all been made one under the banner of your love, and we are called to serve. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and your feet to this world so that the world may come to know you as their Heavenly Father. May they be reconnected to their true identity as sons and daughters of God. Thank you that you will use us. I just speak your blessings, your favor, your protection over each and every one. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. May you receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you receive that, can you give the Lord a blessing? Thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you for those who have been watching online. Be sure to let us know if you made that choice. We would love to connect you with you. We have a special gift for you. We want you to know that we are here for you. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. May you go in the peace of the Lord, and may you carry his blessings to the world. We'll see you again next week. Have a wonderful week. God bless.